Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name, the one we worship and adore this blessed week. Amen. Please pray with me as we consider the Word of God this holy night. Lord, this night and tomorrow and Sunday, open our ears, open our minds and our hearts to receive your holy word. Increase our faith, increase our repentance, our love. Fill us all with the Holy Spirit and bless your word. May it never return to you empty, but accomplish what you desire. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What can I do? What should I do? Surely there is something I can do. This is a week, Holy Week, when Christians often feel compelled, driven, compelled, moved to do something. We need to do something. After all, look at what the Lord has done for us. It's the week of the Lord's great work. He is doing and doing and doing this whole week for us. Palm Sunday, he rides in on the donkey. He doesn't stay away from Jerusalem. He rides in as the king. Monday, he clears the temple with the whip. Tuesday, he teaches in the temple. Yesterday, Wednesday, appears he rests. He's anointed with oil, perhaps, prepared for his death. And then today, Monday, Thursday, the night of doing, he gives us the Lord's Supper. He prays out in the garden, sweats blood all for us. He's betrayed for us by Judas, 30 pieces of silver. He's arrested for us, put on trial the entire night. He's the lamb led to slaughter. He's convicted of blasphemy for us. He's convicted of sedition for us. Tomorrow, nailed to a cross, 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, he hangs on a cross bearing the sins of the world. Easter, he rises again. He is busy, busy, busy at work saving us. He is doing, doing, doing. The talking is pretty much over. Now he acts. He does it. And so we Christians are compelled by love and faith. What can I do for you, Lord? Surely there's something I can do. And so moved by God's Spirit, we want to worship and worship. And praise be to God, may we worship this holy week here tonight, tomorrow, Sunday. Let's worship. We want to sing and sing loudly. We want to pray, get underneath, confess our sins. We want to tell the whole world about Jesus, love our neighbor, sacrifice, give a great offering. We want to do something. And all that is good if it's done through faith. But on Monday, Thursday, Jesus tells us quite plainly what's the most important thing to do. It's as if he knows, and he does know, they're going to want to do something for me. I've done all this for them. They're going to think they need to do something. He tells us what to do. You know what to do. You've heard it many, 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 many times. The most important thing to do, what is it? Do this. He says Monday, Thursday. You hear it two times in the words of institution. You want to do something. I know you want to do something. You're gung-ho, the disciples. We're going to die for you, Jesus. We'll die for you. We're going to suffer with you. That's Peter and the disciples in the upper room. We're going to do something for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Everything else is important, too. We'll get to that. Love, serve, worship, sing, praise, give offerings. Yes, yes, all that, too. But most important, do this. And he says it twice in the words of institution. Do this. Eat my body. Do this. Drink my blood. Did you hear it? You want to do something? Do this. Basically, he is saying, you want to do something? Receive what I've done for you. That's the highest act of a Christian, if you will. It's faith. And faith is receiving what God gives to us with joy and contentment. Eat my body. Drink my blood. I leave it for you. Do this. My theme tonight for just a few minutes as we consider the Word of God, do this. Why? So that we can do that. I'll get to that in a little bit. And so that one day we can do nothing. Simple theme. Do this so that you have the power to do that. And one day so that you can do nothing. That's why we do this. I shouldn't have to elaborate real long. We all love the body and blood of Jesus, but do this. It's not a command. It's a gracious invitation. God invites you. Do this. Eat my body. Drink my blood. The language of the Lord's Supper is so simple. He's not trying to make it complicated and difficult, some heavy burden for us to figure out. He simply says, take and eat. Small little children now. take and eat. This is my body. No confusion, no major mystery. It's my body. I know it doesn't look like my body, but it's my body because I say so and I can make it happen. I'm God. It's my body. You need this. My body that's conquered sin, death, and hell now is with this bread. Eat it. Do it. It's salvation. And the cup of wine. Drink of it, all of you. Drink it. Do it. This is my very blood. Not just wine, it's my very blood in and with the wine. It's my saving, righteous, holy blood. It's my blood that washes away sin. Now you drink that and be forgiven and saved. Do this for salvation and forgiveness. I shouldn't have to tell you to do it. You should just want to do it. Most of us want to do it all the time because it's forgiveness and salvation. But he tells us, little children, do this. You want to do something for me? Do this. How can I repay the Lord for all his benefits to me? From the psalm, David asked that. How can I repay God for all his blessings? That's Holy Week. How can I repay you, God, for all that you've done this week? And what's the answer of the psalm? I will lift up the cup of salvation. There's your answer. What am I going to do? How am I going to repay you? I'll just drink what you give me. You give me your blood, I'll drink it. You give me your body, I'll eat it. That's how I'll repay you. I'll receive with gladness what you give me. The other day, Ann bought a ham for Easter dinner, and it's sitting in the refrigerator, and I like ham. Everybody like ham? Ham's a good Easter dinner. We don't eat it a lot, but I like ham, like about all meat, as you guys realize by now. And I thought about that ham for a few days, and every time I look at the refrigerator, I think about that ham some more, and I have talked about the ham. And when no one's watching, I went in and picked up that ham in my hands and thought, is this ham going to be big enough for our whole family, especially when I get half the ham? And I think I might even pull back the tinfoil a little bit and smelled the ham. Is there any better smell than the smell of ham? Wow. Didn't taste it, but I looked at it, thought about it, held it, considered it. But what do I want to do with the cotton pickin' ham? I want to eat it. It does me no good if I just look at it and think about it. I need to eat the thing. We'll eat it on Easter. Eating it fulfills me and satisfies me. Just looking at it, talking about it doesn't do it. Eat it. And as Christians, you know, we talk a lot about the Lord's Supper, and we should. Whole sermon about it. It's very, very important. And we need to talk about it because, sadly, there are many that don't believe what it is, the body and blood of Jesus. So we got to say, yes, it is the body and blood of Jesus because he says so. This is powerful stuff. Eat and drink. So we need to talk about it and get the doctrines right. We're going to confess what Luther says about it in our confession of faith. That's good to do. Talk about it and think about it. I hope as you're driving over, you're thinking about what happened on this holy night. You're thinking about taking communion. You're longing for it. You're hungry for it. That's very, very good. And you're going to see it and hold it in your hands, the bread and wine, the body and blood. But what are you going to do with it, folks? Eat it. Drink it. Thinking about it doesn't help you. Wondering about it doesn't really help you. Talking about it doesn't help a whole lot. Do this. Open your mouth in faith and eat. And open your mouth and drink the blood for forgiveness and salvation. And we do this, friends, so that, secondly, we can do that. So that we can take up our cross and follow Jesus. And to take up the cross and follow Jesus is very, very difficult. We cannot do it by ourselves. We need the strength of God himself to take up our cross and follow Jesus. We need the strength of God when we are sick, perhaps when we're dying, to bear burdens, to bear our own burdens, to endure suffering, persecution, grief, sorrow. We need the strength of God to bear our crosses, to persevere in the faith. To fight the good fight of faith. We can't do it alone. So you do this. Not so that you just sit in a couch and turn on the remote control. You do this so that you can do that and take up your cross and follow Christ. Notice how it all happens. He gives the Lord's Supper before the cross. There's a lesson in that. He could have given the Lord's Supper after he rose. And he did give it then too. But he actually institutes it before the cross. To show us we got to have this if we're going to bear the cross. We're going to bear our sufferings. This is our strength, our refuge, our rock, our power. It's our spiritual food that helps us to endure in the faith. It is shocking tonight. I know we're all always a bit surprised and shocked that Judas would betray him. How could that happen? One of his own betray him with a kiss. It's shocking. It's sad. But I'll tell you what's also quite amazing and shocking is the other 11 kept the faith. Yeah, they strayed, the other 11. Peter denied them 3 times. They all ran off scared. But also what's quite amazing is that on Easter evening, they're all together. They're all together in that room, scared. But it's amazing to me they didn't all just run off and hide and never come back. It's amazing to me that more than them commit suicide. Why did Peter commit suicide? Denied him 3 times. It's a terrible night. How in the world did these 11 men, with such a cross to bear, the suffering and death of their Lord and their own guilt over deserting him and denying him, how are they all together in the upper room Easter evening when he comes? Not by their own strength. I suggest a big part of it was communion that they had received. And they recall the words of the Lord, "This is my body given for you, my blood shed for you." And I imagine the words that really rang in their ears, these guilt-ridden, horrified, terrified men, were the words, "For the forgiveness of your sins." How Peter must have repeated those words. "He gave me his body, his blood, for the forgiveness of my sins." If they knew anything about Jesus, it was that he would forgive their sins. He'll forgive us. He'll forgive us. Communion was their strength. He'll forgive us. He's fed us. This is our strength. God kept them in the faith, and God does that for us too. Keeps us in the true faith. I had an old pastor when I was younger, a retired pastor, say to me, "You know, Pastor, when you preach to your congregation, you see your congregation on a Sunday or when they gather for worship, you know, just realize that a good half of those people, even though they smile at you and shake your hand and act like the world's good, half those people have some terrible cross they're bearing, and the other half will have a cross tomorrow. Because life for the Christian is hard. And suffering hits us sometimes even worse. And cancers hit us all over the place in this church. And horrible diseases that rip the body apart and our souls apart and our minds and all that goes with that. And then there's trouble in our families that divides families among the Christians too. Divorce and everything else happens to us too, doesn't it? Because we're sinners. And then there's job problems for us too. We lose our jobs or have problems at work. All that too. We have worries, anxieties, suffering, and persecution of the world out there. Heavy crosses. And so he told me, "Feed your flock, Pastor. Give them the absolution of God's forgiveness and his body and blood, because he alone can strengthen them. You can't. So give them what can, and that's Jesus." One interesting thing, and a wonderful thing for me about communion is that when we commune, you know, all 5 senses are involved. I've always found that wonderful. Hearing the word is great. It saves us, but we just hear. And baptism is wonderful, it saves us. But there we just hear and we get touched the water and we see the water. Wonderful, it saves us. But communion, there's something extra special for me about it. All 5 senses. We hear the word, "This is my body, this is my blood." We see the bread and wine. We get to taste it. We get to smell it. We get to touch it. God is communicating to us in every way we know how. "I love you. I love you. I forgive you. You are mine. My body, my blood that's conquered all hell for you. Death for you. Sickness for you. It's right here for you. Now go on, child, and face your problems with the strength of the Lord." We do this so we can do that tomorrow and the next day. And then we do this also so that one day we can do nothing. And nothing, I mean rest, which is heaven. We'd be in paradise. We will do things in heaven. But by nothing, I mean we will rest from our woes and our worries and rest in the presence of God and the angels forever. This meal leads to a cross. This meal leads to the crown of paradise. This meal is incredible. It helps us with our past, our present, and our future. No other meal you're going to eat helps you with your past. The hamburger you ate today is not going to help you yesterday. That's the past. This meal does it because it forgives you of your sins yesterday. It tells you you're forgiven of all that stuff you did yesterday and before you came to church. You're washed. Your past is forgiven. Don't carry guilt about it anymore. Don't worry about it. It's taken away by Christ. That's what this meal does. Don't ever think, "I'm so sinful I can't come to communion." That's like saying, "I'm so sick I can't take my medicine." Duh, are you a fool or what? That's why you have medicine, to help you when you're sick. "I'm so sinful, I can't take communion. That's why it's here. Special comfort for the sinner. And even the really big sins. You're forgiven. It helps us with our present. Because it's strength to bear our crosses today. It's forgiveness today. And it also helps me with my future. Because it carries the promise of eternal life and the resurrection of my body. What a meal. Because it's Jesus, after all. Past, present, future. John 6, if you eat my flesh, drink my blood, I will raise you up on the last day. This meal promises the resurrection of your body and eternal life, eternal glory. You've all heard the expression, you are what you eat. And it's basically true, you are what you eat. Well, think about it, Christian. If you eat of Jesus, who will you be like one day? And even now, through faith, you'll be like him. He's risen, he's conquered death, he sits at God's right hand in glory, no more pain or suffering. That's you and I because we eat of him. We'll be like him. Every other food we eat, it's corrupt. Your bananas are corrupt. Your lettuce is corrupt. It's not going to take away a sin. It's not going to give you one second in heaven eating lettuce and bananas and oranges and carrots. Sorry, all you health food people, it's good to be healthy. It's not going to save you from your sin or death. Go ahead and do it, though, to take care of your body now. All food is corrupt. All food is dead. That's why we have refrigerators and freezers. Because the food we eat is dead. That's why we got to put it in the refrigerator or freezer. Because it's dead. We eat dead stuff all the time. And all food that we eat now is purely for temporal use. It helps us for now, but then I got to eat a little later and tomorrow. This is the one food that is entirely different. This food is perfect. It's Jesus. This food is living. You eat of a living Jesus, the resurrected one, crucified and living. He calls himself, I am the living bread. I'm not dead bread. I'm the living bread from heaven. We eat of life here, and a life that's conquered sin, death, and hell. You eat of it tonight. And this is not just then for temporal use. It's eternal power, eternal benefit, heaven. So, dear friends, who wants to do this tonight? Who wants to do it often? Yes, often. No command, just do it often. Don't you want to? Do this so you can do that tomorrow, and one day we can all do nothing but rest in heaven. Amen. Let's stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.